560 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden reached out to the families of the three Army reservists from Georgia who were killed in the drone attack on their base in Jordan. He'll also be welcome in Dover, Delaware on Friday when the remains of those personnel are returned to their families. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
In that conversation, he also gauged their feelings about him going to the dignified transfer in Dover on Friday. All of them supported his presence there.
The president has said he's decided how the U.S. will respond to the attack. No details. A judge in Washington, D.C. ordered Edward Richmond Jr. held without bail. He's charged with assaulting police during the January 6th attack on the Capitol. A judge in Wadsworth, Ohio, sentenced white nationalist Amon Penny to 18 years in prison for throwing two Molotov cocktails at a church that was planning to host drag show events. This is ABC News. NHL players Carter Hart of the Philadelphia Flyers, Michael McLeod and Cal Foote of the New Jersey Devils, and Dylan Dubé of the Calgary Flames are facing sex assault charges in London, Ontario, in connection with an alleged assault by several members of Canada's 2018 World Junior team. A groundbreaking legend of Broadway has passed on.
Chita Rivera was a Broadway icon.
I walk down the street and people say, there goes Anita.
She was the original Anita in West Side Story starting in 1957. That launched her to international fame, and she went on to star in dozens of productions on Broadway, in London, and on tour all over the world. Last year at age 90 on the Tamron Hall Show, she said the secret to long life and success is being grateful.
This is the only life you've got. And you've got to, and everybody you meet is a teacher.
Chita Rivera was 91. Jason Athens in ABC News, Hollywood.
Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers want to help the news industry. The Wisconsin Civic Information Consortium would create a newspaper tax credit and a local journalism fellowship program. Smaller advertising budgets and several layoffs have hurt the news business in Wisconsin. Accurate voting information's been put under assault over the last several election cycles. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says she's optimistic about the future.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they spent the last couple of years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
There's a bill in the legislature to require candidates to disclose when AI is used in campaign materials. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks fall in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lose 113 to 107 in Denver. 25 points and a triple-double for the Nuggets' Nikola Jokic. But new head coach Doc Rivers says the Bucks made him work for it as they try to improve their defense.
When he takes 25 shots, it means a couple things. Number one, he couldn't find guys the way he wanted to. And then number two, that means he had to force a lot of tough shots. That's what our defense has to be.
Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. It's the second time this season and the 23rd time. time in his career. Baseball, the Brewers' new first baseman, Reese Hoskins, spoke to reporters about leaving the Phillies in free agency and why he thought the Brewers might offer him a contract.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit. I've talked to a bunch of guys either on the team or that have played there in the past. It just fit even more so with, you know, the type of culture that they have and what I'm trying to accomplish.
That's Brewers' first baseman, Reese Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight. A light southwest wind developing as lows drop to the upper 20s to near the 30-degree mark. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies will work in with highs of the lower 40s. More clouds Thursday, but temperatures again in the lower 40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Got Dom here with me in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. Dom, I'm calling this Mo Money, Mo Problems edition.
Yeah. Good to be with you, Crudy. Love it in Madison. Good to see you too, Nate. Of course, our fair audience, thank you for tuning in and hanging out. It's going to be a political party as always.
It will be, but I got to ask.
What?
Who harshed Tony's buzz?
Why? What do you mean?
The governor, Tony Evers, a bit salty.
I don't know. About
vetoing bills today, Dom.
I don't know. Salty. I think he's doing exactly what we all expected he would do.
Well, he did what we expected he would do in regards to the newly passed legislative maps. Democratic Governor Tony Evers, according to the Journal Sentinel, today vetoed a set of new legislative maps passed by Republicans last week, amid an order by the liberal-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court to redraw the state's electoral boundaries. So we got new maps coming. And the Republicans said, wait a minute,
how about these maps?
How about the maps you wanted when you were hemmed in by the least change from the conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court? What if we give you those, but then don't pit any Republicans against each other and, you know, give you most of what you wanted? That's good enough, right, Tony?
Right, right.
And the ever salty Tony Evers, the governor, said, hell no. Effectively, here is what he said. My promise to the people of Wisconsin is that I will always fight for fair maps. I won't accept anything less. It's about doing the right thing. Simple as that. That's what he posted on the X, the former Twitter. A little bit more here, Dom. Republicans passed maps to help make sure GOP gerrymandered incumbents can keep their seats. Folks, that's just more gerrymandering.
Yep.
Wisconsinites don't want Republican or Democrat maps because we're not a red or a blue state. We're a purple state, and our maps should reflect that. Now, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, your buddy Dom, Republican from Rochester, said last week that plans made minuscule changes to the maps previously submitted by Evers, something you and Robin Voss would know about, minuscule.
Nice.
Topics. Voss said Tuesday he was disappointed, but not surprised. Veto.
Crudy, his action today, Voss said, only solidifies his trust in the Wisconsin Supreme Court to give him even more partisan gerrymandered bets for Democrats.
That's what I'm betting on.
The very thing the court's newest justice promised on the campaign trail, no she didn't, while receiving record-level Democratic Party campaign donations, Voss said, referring to Justice Jenna Protasiewicz, whom the speaker has threatened to impeach over her participation in redistricting cases, given her criticism of the current maps.
Is that before or after he faces, what, a recall from his own party down?
Right. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said Evers, quote, speaks of compromise but governs as an extreme partisan. Yeah, right. In his veto message, Evers said the vetoed maps prioritize protecting incumbent gerrymandered legislators by making their future campaigns more convenient for them, but not better for the constituents they serve. Molly Beck breaking it down for us over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
So Tony didn't like the maps. And he's also said he's going to veto the 14-week abortion ban. Republicans what want to slide in. For a little,
what?
Ask the people with the referendum.
Yeah, you know,
this April.
I mean, they got to show that they're doing something. See how quickly they moved on the maps, how quickly they moved on the 14-week abortion ban. I mean, they haven't done anything for a while. And all of a sudden, these are the priorities, and they know it's never going to pass.
Okay, I don't question Tony's vetoes on either of those measures. Damn.
Certainly.
But why is the governor so salty at Dean Phillips?
He apparently disagrees with you on this topic, Crudy.
Governor Tony Evers labels Dean Phillips' bid to get on the Wisconsin presidential ballot ridiculous, though.
That's ridiculous, Crudy.
Molly, back over at the Journal Sentinel, I don't think there's much of import here, but we'll throw it out there because Tony's apparently a little salty. Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips' effort to be listed on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballot is ridiculous, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers said Tuesday. I hope he elaborates. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will consider taking up a challenge from the Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips as he seeks to be included on the April 2nd primary ballot. Now, he is, Phillips, a Minnesota congressman, and he filed a complaint with the Wisconsin Supreme Court Monday over the state's presidential preference selection committee's exclusion of his name from the primary ballot. The court then issued an order directing the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the selection committee to respond to Phillips' complaint by Wednesday afternoon. That's tomorrow, Dom. The Democratic governor, who's backing President Joe Biden's reelection bid, I would point out, as am I, characterized the challenge as a distraction. I think the party can figure it out. I can't believe that this is going forward. That seems ridiculous to me, Evers told reporters following an event in Madison hosted by WisPolitics. Had the luncheon with Jeff Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it looks like the committee followed the process. I don't know what his position will be in court, but it's just another distraction, frankly. I completely disagree.
Crudy, Phillips has challenged similar decisions in Florida and North Carolina. WC Chairman Don Millis, a Republican appointee, suggested Monday Phillips' challenge could be successful. Here's what Millis said. While the Wisconsin Election Commission has no role in selecting candidates for the presidential preference ballot, even the most casual observer has to admit that Rep. Phillips is generally advocated and recognized in the national news media throughout the nation as a candidate for president for the Democratic Party. Therefore, he meets the statutory criteria. And I, again, Kurt, I don't agree with Republicans much, but I think he's absolutely right. You can't deny the guy's running for president. Hell, he took 20% of the vote in New Hampshire.
Well, the other way to qualify for the ballot would be very cumbersome. You would have to get 1,000 ballot signatures in each of the 8 congressional districts, each of the 8. So 8,000 signatures. And I believe you can't exceed like 1,500 ballot signatures in any of the districts. So it really gets to be
very specific.
And Phillips' campaign claimed that the expense to meet that standard would be something like $300,000. Now, I bet you I could probably find some college kids that would work for cheaper, but it'd be hell of an undertaking. And there are a lot of chance that they would fall short in one of the 8 congressional districts. It would be a hell of an undertaking in a very short period of time. But if the standard is a nationally recognized candidate for the presidency, he's been out there making all the noise,
right?
Trying to get on the media, trying to qualify for all the ballots, doing his fundraising. I would assert he is a qualified candidate. He was on the ballot in New Hampshire, which is more than you can say for Joe, and he got almost 20% of the vote or something like that.
Yeah, nearly 20%.
Well, at 20%, he's as viable as Nikki Haley.
Ah, nice. A quote from Phillips made a statement, "As we fight Trump's attacks on democracy, we must also be vigilant against efforts by people in our own party to do the same." I don't know if it quite qualifies. "Voters should choose the nominee of our party without insiders trying to rig the process for Joe Biden."
I don't disagree with his assessment either, and I'm not clear why Evers would feel it necessary to wade in on this. I mean, we're talk radio guys. There's no harm done if somebody disagrees with Crudy on a Tuesday.
They can call him up and tell him, 844-967-2789. Tell Crudy why he's wrong.
But in this case, I think Tony Evers is wrong. I think the governor's wrong, A, because, you know, you don't have a dog in this fight. I get that you're supportive of Biden, as are we. But, come on, fair is fair, man. Why are the Dems trying to leave the impression that they're trying to rig this for their candidate? Air quotes rigged.
It's the party. It's the party who does their rules, does their game,
plays does the rigging
how they want it. You could call it rigging. You can call it changing. You could come on.
You we need the about people to be yesterday. Enthused about this candidate.
Nobody's enthused about any of these candidates, least of all Phillips. And for Phillips to say that Trump's attacks on democracy are and somehow comparable to quote unquote our party doing the same, I think is way off base.
I don't think so. I don't think he's that far off base. Now, what Trump's trying to do is...
Wait, come on. Trump organized an insurrection to attack democracy, dude. What?
Okay, so the Democratic Party is going to exclude any opposition to the incumbent president. And we got the governor of the state of Wisconsin, a Democratic leader in this party, saying, oh, that's ridiculous that he should even be considered. No, it's not ridiculous. He should be on the ballot. He should be qualified. And we, the... voters, because I've got to tell you, Dom.
Tell me, Chris.
Those that would vote in protest and go register and vote in a Democratic primary for Dean Phillips, 98% of them are going to go vote for Joe Biden in the fall if you just aren't right. A jacknut about it.
I know, but listen, I agree. I understand your perspective. I appreciate your passion. I would stand by you on that. But my point is, this is not anything like Trump's attacks on democracy, man. This is not even the same game. It's not
okay,
the same ballpark.
Okay, bad analogy. You should know.
It's a terrible analogy.
You've had a few.
And I know it. I know a bad analogy when I see one, Crudy, and that's a bad one.
I don't disagree.
I mean, we talked about it briefly yesterday.
But he's the guy being excluded. Of course he's looking for something that's going to grab your attention. So he did. He grabbed all the... You might almost say his quote, his analogy was ridiculous, Dom. It's almost like he's trying to take something ridiculous and frame it in a way that would attract your attention. And you might say, yeah, that's as ridiculous as excluding Dean Phillips from the Wisconsin ballot.
It's not nearly as ridiculous. An insurrection to overturn democracy, to stop the peaceful transfer of power in a free and fair election is not the same as a state party going through the machinations to try to keep a 20%er in New Hampshire off the ballot when it's their Dem who's the incumbent. That's not even close. It's a terrible analogy.
Can we agree, Tony, quite salty?
Seems a little salty.
A lot of no's. No.
No.
No. No. No. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. I know you will. And you can always join us. If you think I'm wrong, you would be wrong, but I would... Let you tell me why you think I'm wrong, and we can debate it on the radio. 844-967-2789. Also calls for Janet Protasiewicz, Justice Protasiewicz, to recuse from the congressional maps.
No.
No! Come back. It is a Mo Money, Mo Problems Tuesday. No.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a big year for the Fox Cities Chamber.
Everything we do will have the 150th incorporated in it.
Chamber Executive VP of Marketing, Laura Wiegert, joined Mino and the mayor to celebrate and share some history.
There was a Menasha Chamber, a Nina Chamber. They merged. The Appleton-Nina-Menasha Chambers merged in 1976.
Wiegert says events will be happening all year to take a look back at the Fox Cities and look forward to more success for the area.
We just want to tell our story. For us, that's a big
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Because as the mayor said, people just don't know what chambers do and who they are. And we want people to know how we impact the community.
Congratulations on 150 years. You can learn more about the anniversary at foxcitieschamber.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines. Tell us why we're wrong or what Crudy's wrong. 844-967-2789.
63% of the time, I'm right every time. I don't think I'm wrong. The advice to Janet Protasiewicz, should you recuse on the question of the congressional maps? The Mark Elias Law Firm brought this before the Wisconsin Supreme Court seeking that since they're deciding on the legislative maps, they throw these in for good measure. And, of course, Republicans are imploring Justice Protasiewicz to recuse. She must. I think they're building a case for a future impeachment trial. Except this will be a lame duck, right? And they will be judged by it should they take this action post legislative ruling on the legislative and congressional maps. But my advice to you, Janet Protasiewicz, no, do not recuse.
No, a lot of no going on.
Do not pass go. Take that salty Tony Evers attitude and carry it forward. Dom, I saw this little headline, this one intriguing, because as you know, I'm taking a little trip to Vegas next week. Going out there, not just for the Super Bowl, but there is a primary on Tuesday in a caucus, the Nevada GOP caucus is next Thursday, and the fact that the Super Bowl happens next Sunday in Vegas, that's just a throw-in good luck. I just happen to be in the right town in the right time. But I saw this intriguing headline. Party feud breaks ahead of RNC meeting in Vegas. I'm like, what kind of mischief's going on?
Well, it is Vegas, man, so you know temper's going to run a little high when you don't sleep a lot.
If it happens in Vegas.
It stays in Vegas.
Days before the Republican National Committee was set to convene here, hundreds of Republican officials gathered in a casino ballroom Monday to vent their grievances about the party. They usually wait till Fridays and warn that it is ill prepared for the 2024 election. We're at war, one man shouted from a microphone at the event hosted by the conservative group Turning Point Action, lifting his arm in the air. Where are the tools? Oh, they're all around you. We're the little things that the left is doing, but we don't.
I don't know. Good candidates, moral people caring about governance and their constituents, and not necessarily worried about getting money in their own pocket and taking care of the billionaires. You know, could be policy, could be personalities, like, the little things that matter.
Dom, the gathering in a hotel room next door to where the RNC will meet later this week was the culmination of more than a year's worth of frustration from some Republicans in and surrounding the committee about its finances, about its struggles to match Democratic organizing efforts, about its four-term leader. A year ago this month, the vast majority of the RNC members voted in favor of keeping Rona McDaniel. I know Romney in there anymore. On for another term as chair, despite an ugly re-election fight that exposed rifts and vulnerabilities inside the committee. But at this point, many grassroots activists say McDaniels has lost their trust, perhaps permanently. They said they're tired of losing. And whatever facts and figures the RNC provides to defend its records, the arguments sound to them like excuses.
Tired of losing? I thought they were going to get tired of winning. There's so much winning. You'll be so tired of winning.
Dominic, there's more. And this turns to our friends in Waukesha County. You want to take over?
Yeah, man. Political. Wisconsin going big. Terry Dietrich, the chair of the Waukesha County, Wisconsin GOP, the largest Republican county in the state, said he received word from the RNC of a victory 2024 program that they're going to launch there this spring.
To include the Jackson 5. They had an album, didn't they? Victory?
But he and his county party have been attempting to carry out their own voter outreach efforts since July, and Dietrichs of the National Party should have already established year-round programs there to compete with what he sees Democrats doing. A quote, "The fact of the matter is, the same executive committee, the same leadership structure, the same strategic plans, the same victory programs, quote-unquote, are all in place with the same people. And yet we have lost 22 out of 25 statewide races," Dietrich said, referring to Wisconsin elections over the last dozen or so years, a period beginning before McDaniel was placed on the job by Donald Trump in 2016. "And so my question would be simple," he said. "If you're in a business and your business lost 22 of 25 accounts that you were after, would you have the same structure continue? Would you have the same people continuing to lead?"
That is a great question. Would you have the same leadership structure?
But it's beyond that. And here's what this is why. Because look at the party. Look at the people that you're putting forth. Look at Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? If it stinks at the top, it stinks all the way down. So you could mix it all up, shake it up, get a new committee, a new Victory 2024 2.0 program. You can do all those things. And where do you have? You're still the same party pushing the same crap with the same terrible candidate in Donald Trump.
Can I throw out one more quote from the Politico piece? Charlie Kirk, this was his organization's little confab, having in the Vegas.
Charlie Kirk.
Presaging the RNC meeting next, later in the week, whatever.
What did Kirk say?
They're a bunch of losers. They know it. The grassroots knows it. The donors know it. They lost in 18. They lost in 20. They lost in 22. This guy sounds like you and I on the radio. We have tried to reach out to them many times, and I'm not going to put up with another culture of losing. But that's what they are, Don. They're losers. And, you know, I wonder why. And I question why. And here in the state of Wisconsin, this Dietrich from Waukesha County.
Terry Dietrich.
Shouldn't the money come from the state party? You know what I mean? This should be a grassroots effort. But here in the state of Wisconsin, they were prestigious fundraisers. Wasn't Scott Walker the great white whale?
Yeah, man. People cutting checks because Scott Walker asked.
So Scott Walker, through his recall, sort of nationalized his fundraising campaign. And he became this the rainmaker, Dom. He would make it rain up in here. Like you in a strip club back in the 80s. But here's the problem. The rainmaker's gone. And the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin has liberalized all the rules through legislation to make it easier for Scott Walker to corruptly raise money.
Yeah.
They made it easy.
They sure did.
And instead of giving direct contributions to an individual candidate, because that used to be capped at like $10,000, seemed like a lot of money. Now it's $20,000. And you think, well, that's a lot of money. They doubled the caps. They eliminated the caps when you give the money directly to the party.
Ooh.
So let's say Scott Walker could only accept, let's say, $20,000 under these newly raised campaign finance laws. But you could give millions to the party, and they could turn around and funnel it back to Scott Walker. Well, you know what, Dom? It has become an arms race here in the state of Wisconsin. It is a financial arms race. And guess what? The Republicans are losing it badly. They're losing at their own game, Dom. This was their bright idea.
Right, how it started and how it's going.
Oh, it's going poorly for them. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll bring you some of that information. Our friend Bruce Murphy at the Online Daily, UrbanMilwaukee.com, had a little expose on the real rainmaker. His name is Ben Wickler. He is the Democratic Party chair, great state of Wisconsin. Ben's got a retreat next couple days. We did invite him on this week while you're in town, Dom. Apparently, when you got money, you don't need guys like us. Come back. We'll tell you why the Republicans are going to get their asses handed to them in the field, because they're doing the same old, and they're failing. They're losers. And I didn't say that. Charlie Kirk did. More Devil's Advocates.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President Biden reached out to the families of the three Army reservists from Georgia who were killed in the drone attack on their base in Jordan. He'll also be welcome in Dover, Delaware on Friday when the remains of those personnel are returned to their families. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
In that conversation, he also gauged their feelings about him going to the dignified transfer in Dover on Friday. All of them supported his presence there.
The president has said he's decided how the U.S. will respond to the attack. No details. A judge in Washington, D.C. ordered Edward Richmond Jr. held without bail. He's charged with assaulting police during the January 6th attack on the Capitol. A judge in Wadsworth, Ohio, sentenced white nationalist Ayman Penney to 18 years in prison for throwing two Molotov cocktails at a church that was planning to host drag show events. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State regulators can force large factory farms to get permits before discharging pollutants, a judge ruled on Tuesday. The Calumet County judge found that the State Department of Natural Resources can force the permits to protect the state's waters. The lawsuit fighting the permits was filed by the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business group. A Dane County judge has tossed a lawsuit challenging a handful of absentee ballot rules. The lawsuit was filed by the liberal Elias Law Group and argued that rules banning absentee ballot drop boxes and requirements for witness signatures created unnecessary barriers for voters. The judge dismissed some of the group's claims last week, and after saying they were not going to continue to challenge the rules, the judge dropped the case on Tuesday. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight. A light southwest wind developing as lows drop to the upper 20s to near the 30-degree mark. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies will work in with highs of the lower 40s. More clouds Thursday, but temperatures again in the lower 40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues, thanks to our fine sponsor, Chance Design Build. Trudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From the Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Trudy brings you on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Mo Money, Mo Problems Tuesday edition. Would have made more sense on a Monday.
This is like no money,
Mo alliteration.
Problems. No money, Mo Problems.
Well, that's also a problem. If you lack for the moolah, right. That is generally a problem. I've known it many times in my brief but adventure-filled life. Dom Murphy, Bruce Murphy, over at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. Democrats crushing the GOP in fundraising.
I mean, and that's his line.
A 4-1 edge for the state Democratic Party last year, the biggest ever. And they have Scott Walker and the Republicans to thank. Thank you, wanker. You wanker. Here is what Murphy writes. It was back in 2015 that Republican legislators pushed a campaign finance bill that Democrats opposed. And then the governor, Scotty Wanker, signed it. Among the provisions was one ending the $10,000 limit for individual donations to a political party. Talked about that, Tom. And while there were still limits on how much you could donate to candidates, donors now could simply give any amount. The sky is the limit to a political party. And the party could give it to the candidates. So much less corrupt that way.
Right. You want to track the money? Can't do it this way.
It's unlimited. This is madness, said then State Senator Janet Bewley, a Democrat from Ashland, objecting to the provision. Besides opening the floodgates to unlimited donors, complained good government advocates like Jay Heck of Common Cause, it will turn legislators into sheep who follow the party leaders in order to get the campaign donations. It's almost like Boss Voss might have some say over his caucus through the finances, Tom. The legislative leaders will be able to discourage independent stands and even thoughts by individual legislators, Heck warned. But Republicans have convinced the change would give them a big advantage in campaigns. And for a while it did. By 2018, 3 years after the law was passed, the state Republican Party raised $17 million. Wow.
Damn.
Compared to $8 million by the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Those were the Martha Lanning days, Dom.
Sticking it to those Dems.
Based on the data from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But by 2020, the numbers were nearly reversed, with the Democratic Party raising $27 million and the Republicans just $16 million. Democrats won again about in 2022. $22 million for the Dems, $16 million for the Republicans. But that was an only a warm-up for 2023. What happened then, Dom?
Cody, last year, the Democratic Party buried the Republican Party, as a recent report by the WDC found. Campaign finance reports for the last half of 2023 show Democratic Party raised $16.14 million for the entire year, compared to just $3.95 million raised by the state Republican Party. That's more than a 4-1 edge for the Democrats, including contributions to the state parties from individuals, political action committees, candidate committees, and corporations. Total money raised by the two parties, just over $20 million, was about 10 times more than the two parties combined raised in 2014, about $2 million. That was this was 1 year before the $10,000 limit for donation was ended. But the best example of how wide the floodgates have been open to wealthy donors is the top contributions to the state Democratic Party last year. California billionaire Reid Hoffman, Microsoft board member and co-founder of LinkedIn, gave the party $3.58 million, or 3,580 times more money than he could have had under the old limit of $10,000. And I'll do math on the radio. Thank you, Bruce Murphy. Both parties had contributions from such billionaires last year. For the Republicans, that included Diane Hendricks, owner of ABC Supply, who contributed $945,000, and Elizabeth Uline, who donated $500,000. Elizabeth and her husband Dick own the Uline Company and have been huge Republican donors over the years.
But here's one thing I don't know if our friend Bruce Murphy accounts for. Republicans like to use, you know, sort of nonprofits, but I'll let you continue while there's time.
A little bit more here. The Dems raked in far more donations than 23 from fat cats who were past donors. Ranking second after Hoffman was Illinois billionaire J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, who donated $1.1 million. New York billionaire philanthropist and frequent right-wing punching bag George Soros. There's the Soros money, Crudy. He contributed $1 million. Oklahoma billionaires Lynn and Stacy Shutterman, founders of the Charles and Lynn Shutterman Family Philanthropies, donated $500,000, and the list goes on and on and on.
And on.
And on.
So they blew it, Tom. You know, their greed, their corruption, their quest to win all the elections, you know, through the monetary means, to corrupt the campaign finance laws under Scott Walker, because Scott Walker asked.
Scott Walker asked.
Now it's coming back to bite their asses in the extreme. In the extreme.
Bruce Murphy concludes, of course, the campaign spending arms race never ends and can always change from year to year. But 8 years after Walker and Republicans passed their campaign finance laws, the results point to an old maxim that they might have heeded. Curdy, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for, Republicans. And again, what this also does not, and while it certainly tracks the money, and you know, these things can be verified, the candidates, man, I mean, why is it? Why are people giving money? Of course, you can talk about the billionaires, but why are the parties, why are the Dems making or raking in so much more money than the Republicans? I'm going to go back to the candidates. It's one thing to be able to funnel the money and change the limits and all those things. But the other thing is, why? Why are they getting that much money? The Republicans could get that much money. You got bad candidates, man. People don't want Donald Trump to continually bash our country. And that's what happens.
So your
hypothesis?
From ass theory.
Yes.
Is the Republicans are seeing a diminishment in their resources because of Trump.
Yes.
Well, let's move it back then. Why was Scott Walker such a successful fundraiser here in the state of Wisconsin? I mean, just a few years ago, this dynamic was changed. And it flipped, and they changed the campaign finance laws. But prior to that, well, maybe it was because one party was effectively honoring campaign finance laws, at least after the caucus scandal. I mean, the Democrats, they pretty much quit the campaign irregularities and the shenanigans, and the Republicans really never did. They kind of kept doing it, right? Scott Walker was a prestigious fundraiser, and he used third-party sourcing and third-party coordination, which was illegal at the time he was doing it. But he still raised enormous amounts of money, and the Democrats were not able to match that. And I think there was plenty of enthusiasm to get rid of Scott Walker. So if it's not attributable to the campaign finance laws, what is it? And I don't think Trump in and of himself explains it, man. He didn't dry up the well. Trump's raising enormous amounts of money.
Yeah, $50 million last year going to his legal fees. I mean,
well, that's a lot of money. That's more than Nikki Haley raised from all her campaign committees in total. Just for legal fees, he raised more than his nearest only remaining opponent.
Well, I mean, because obviously the whole Scott Walker recall thing that propelled him to the national spotlight, and there were lots of national money coming in. I mean, that
there
was
union money. There was all kinds of money going against Scott Walker at the time as well. And the Dems were not able to match the financial wherewithal.
And then the unions got kneecapped by Act 10, right? So they took away a lot of that ability for
further
the union.
In 2015 the right to work. Certainly the unions are not the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party they once were here in the state of Wisconsin.
By design from the Republicans. I mean, so there's a big reason why some of that money was lacking, because the unions didn't have that wherewithal to do it as much as they did.
I think that some of the money that the Republicans utilize, and we learned this from Ron Johnson, actually, Politico, Kenneth Vogel reported many years ago, Ron Johnson went out to a Koch Brothers, confab at Palm Springs, and he had some rich donor, and he was sitting there talking to a poolside, apparently. Careful, Ron, you look like the sort of guy that would burn
easy.
SPF 50 for you, fella.
For sure.
But he's talking to some rich guy, and he's basically telling his rich guy, oh, don't give the money to my campaign, because right. then you're limited in so many different ways by campaign finance caps. But if you give the money to the Koch Brothers network, and then they just use that money to support my efforts, And oh, yeah, by the way, it's tax deductible to you, sir. It's a write-off.
It's a write-off, Jerry.
Certainly, that is not the case with candidate donations. And Ken Vogel dropped that story for us. He confronted Ron Johnson. We confronted Ron Johnson. And, you know, we asked Ron a few days later after the story broke. Ron, is money free speech?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, guess what? The Democrats are doing better at the game of free speech.
At least for now.
It's got a sting.
Think they want to change those laws back now?
I'm not sure what the Republicans could do to change their fortunes, but it all starts with Donald Trump. They better have a plan B. We'll talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's get to our fair audience, 844-967-2789. Been a while, Dave from Mequon. Welcome back, Dave. What do you got for us?
Hello, Dave.
Better not be a 1974 National Geographic.
No. Listen, really quickly, you know, it's interesting. And credit to the Democrat Party for, you know, getting, you know, out-of-state donors to get the people they want in there. I mean, if you look at Florida
Hollywood State, loves Ben Wickler.
The biggest donor was from California. And unfortunately, you know, Tom from L.A. said, we, the people, are the ones. That's baloney. They're all bought and paid for. The establishment and the Democratic
Party. Well, what about the voters, though, Dave? I mean, it's one thing to say that, you know, it's one thing to say the candidates are taking the money, Dave, but
ultimately
the voters vote those people in. Dave, are the voters, are we all on the take, too?
What happens is that there's no ability. If you look now, you see Dean Phillips, and you know there's going to be a push against trying to make sure that Dean Phillips doesn't show up on the ballot in the April election. And this is, and the same thing with Robert Kennedy Jr. You know, he was pushed out. Again, you've got big money trying to maneuver and push out other people that could challenge the establishment.
But
look what they did to Bernie Sanders.
Dave. Your team is ready to anoint Donald Trump the nominee after two states have voted.
I get that. And what I'm saying is both establishments are at fault here. Trump is, say what you want, he's not establishment.
He is now, man. Of course he is. He runs that party, Dave. He is the most establishment Republican there is in this country right now, Dave.
Well, as far as what's happened is he's got a hardcore group of people, and a lot of them are middle class and lower class Americans in rural areas. The whole thing is switched, where Republicans are getting the smaller counties, and the big city, big money is now the elitist Democrat end of things, and that's just reality.
So everybody's corrupt, is your point, Dave? I mean, what do you think did it? I would point at Citizens United.
Don't put words in my mouth there. Don't put words in my mouth. What I'm saying is,
well, you said they were all bought and paid for. I call that corruption, but go ahead. You use your words.
All I'm saying is, at the end of the day, both establishment parties are equally as culpable as to what you're seeing, and they don't want people to change or be able to vote for a different candidate. That's just the reality of it.
And Dave, would you vote for Nikki Haley or Donald Trump?
And the Democratic side.
Are you going to vote for Nikki Haley or Donald Trump?
I would vote for Nikki Haley.
Okay.
If Nikki Haley is basically pushed out by the RNC before the delegate race is done, if they choose as a party, we're going to anoint Trump as the presumptive nominee. We're going to put the resources of the RNC behind Trump before he wins. Do you take issue with that? Because he'll be your party's nominee soon.
I do.
And they're going to do it.
That's not fair. Let the people choose.
Well, it's a private party, though, Dave. They get to choose whether or not you're invited to their party.
I get that. I mean, that's why if Joe Manchin goes no labels, Joe Manchin has got a shot at this.
No, he doesn't. Nobody likes Joe Manchin. He's not appealing to both sides equally. It'd be like if Mike Pence tried to split the difference. Nobody's voting for him. Appreciate your call, though, Dave. Very thoughtful contribution for a change. Come back, more Devils. 844-967-2789.
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke, on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have 1 foot in tomorrow.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're going to go back to the lines. You can be part 844-967-2789.
Dom, one thing we can say with all honesty, we are not bought and paid for.
That is true.
Although, we would buy off relatively cheap.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it necessarily.
Bar tab. Maybe some ice cream downstairs. Dinner later. I can buy you off.
All right.
And a couple of tequila shots.
Right.
844-967-2789.
Don't kid yourself, Crudy. I might be easy, but I ain't cheap.
I've known you many years. Your friendship has never been inexpensive. Kurt from Madison. Welcome. What do you got for us, Kurt?
Hey, Kurt.
Lower and middle class? Has he not been watching what's going on in Congress? Is he not observing that the Koch brothers are back daily? That everybody's drank the Kool-Aid, the power is at the top? Both sides do it, they're equal? Really?
I guess you don't like Dave's analogy, Kurt. Normally it's Dom's that we all disagree with, but what's wrong with Dave's?
Well, I'll just go by what he said to answer your questions, short of the Nikki Haley question. But this constant theme that both sides are the same is just insanity on its head. You've got a guy who's a ironclad criminal. You have a bunch of ne'er-do-wells in Congress that couldn't find their butt with both hands. They're grenade throwers and chaos.
I mean, that's performative stuff, Kurt.
Side doing that?
They're running for their brand. So many of them, so many of the Republican Congress people, the Lauren Boberts, the MTG sorts, they're running to brandish their brand, right? They want to get famous. They want to get paid. They want to get the notoriety and the financial contributions. But all things considered, man, you know, the real money is sticking around and, you know, betting the right stocks. Apparently that's where the real money's being made in Congress. Kurt, I think that some of David's points are justified in this regard. If we accuse the Republican Party for decades of buying elections, all they care about is having access to the money and buying elections, and then they change the campaign finance laws, but we have suddenly become more successful to the perception of many in the electorate of buying the elections. Just because we're better at it doesn't make it feel any less dirty, I guess I'd say, Kurt. You know, I don't want our team to be better. I want to see a reform of the campaign finance laws.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that. But if we're going to go on the premise that both sides are the same, I'm going to have to call. Let me jump in here.
In the sense that, as we see right now in the state of Wisconsin, you know, the Democratic Party is keeping Phillips off the ballot, right? That's what the Dems are doing. On the Republican side, Donald Trump would do the very same thing if he could, right?
And in some states has similar shenanigans going on.
Absolutely. From that singular perspective, Kurt, would you not agree that that seems to be the same kind of philosophy and action to protect each party's leading candidate, regardless of anybody else in the party who might challenge them?
Well, again, I'm going to have to challenge the premise of that. I mean, let's just go back to Newt Gingrich and Reagan. I mean, matter of fact, I'll do a step better. Play the first 10 seconds of the recording of Roosevelt saying, "I welcome their hatred." He talked about a do-nothing Congress. Congress under the Democrats keep offering stuff the way to control the border, and the Republicans shut it down. And why did they shut it down? We know why they shut it down, just like abortion. That's their candy that they can wave in front of their constituents. To say that both sides, because they have lobbyists giving them money, that doesn't equate to the behavior of trying to keep the government running and getting things done on a legitimate level. I just can't buy into your argument.
Well, I wasn't making that argument, Kurt. That was your argument. I was pointing out the fact that we have an election going on, and each party seems to be trying to be protecting the leader of that election.
They're quote-unquote incumbent.
Yes.
And financially, both parties are trying to assemble the greatest campaign war chest they can. And, of course, many in this audience, I know that you and I would rather see some sort of reform of Citizens United. You know, when Obama sat in his State of the Union address, and who was it, Alito shaking his head?
Yeah.
Who was wrong? Of course Alito was wrong, but, you know.
The floodgates have been opened.
Yes. The corruption and the perception that it's a little corrupt on both sides of the aisle. I got to tell you, it's a broad perception. 844-967-2789. Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good afternoon. Hey, I really feel that now is the time for the GOP party to really rebrandish themselves. And, I mean, there's such a disgrace. I'm 71 years old. Like, I'm going to say it. My mom would roll over. I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last, you know, 40 years or so. But as Americans, what we really need to pay attention to is all coming together to fight the greater threat to our country. And all these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat, you know, in a sense. And
name the threat, Jim. What do you perceive the threat to be?
I think the threat is us becoming society. I don't know the word dictatorship. Type style. That's what the underlying belly that's been kind of, you know what I mean? And certain people you don't want in power. Look how the Republican Party has eroded as far as some the way people act. Like, I'm not, you know, people are gonna say, oh man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being, 71, like, you know, I educated, done whatever, protested back in the day for, you know. And I don't know, I feel like I'm stuck in a loop. Like, a lot of things that I marched for, stood for, or still stand for, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, wait a second. Didn't we vote for that or march on that? You know, I mean, there's just so many things are being replayed because money and power and underlying greed is really destroying our country. And everybody's trying to come together and pass bills and things, but there's a certain underlying party that, like, you know, and you know what I'm talking about, that really doesn't want that to happen. They want us to fail. They want to become a dictatorship. Just like Mr. Putin across the aisle that's voted himself in for the next, I don't know, whatever years, he can't be replaced. That dictatorship, is that what we really want to become, though? Again, younger people, like, I'm 71, I'm going to be around for another 30 years, maybe. You know what I mean? But the younger people really need to see what's coming. Like, you know, and it's basically, it's good versus evil.
Jam, well said. Thank you. First time caller, I believe. Appreciate you joining us today. You can always be a part of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Some people say greatest radio show ever.
It's true.
But only when your participation is included. So join us, 844-967-2789. And Republicans better have a plan B. What if your guy gets indicted and convicted?
Oh,
what happens then? We'll talk about it in a happier 5 o'clock happy hour. the Tuesday Mo Money, Mo Problems edition.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. At noon on Wednesday, it's Trigvy Olsen, Pat Kreitlow, and a big Taylor Swiftie show. Why are MAGA folks so upset? Join us at noon.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas!
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.